Father, as we come into your word this morning, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts, open our minds, open our souls to have us receive what you will have us receive. Lord, we pray that when we leave here, we will leave differently than we were when we came. And Heavenly Father, I ask personally that you allow me to decrease so that your word and your word only will increase and go forth and not return void. Speak now, for your servants are listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today comes from the 20th chapter of the book of John. And it is a passage that is very familiar to many of us, if not all of us. And I'll be reading verses 24 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Hear now the word of God. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his sides, and put my hand, into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your finger here, your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This has been the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Was preparing for this message this week, I began to think about the definitive differences between faith and belief. And if I were to pose the question to you this morning, asking you to define differences between faith and belief, many of you would probably rightfully argue that it is a mute points because they are so close to each other. In fact, in the New Testament Greek, the verb for faith and belief is the same. And if I was to ask you what it meant to have faith in God, I believe that some of you may respond that it is believing that God is real. And I would, again, agree to a point. But if pushed and pressed, I would say that while faith and belief are similar, they can be distinctly different as well. Our faith can rest in the character of God, but our belief can be in our expectation, our hope, and our trust of what God is going to do in our lives. For instance, you and I can believe that things are going to get better and still not have faith in a sovereign God. For belief can be rooted in an optimistic spirit and not necessarily in faith of a God who cares for you. An atheist can tell you to keep your head up, things will get better. An agnostic could tell you that if you just hold on, time will heal all wounds. An unbeliever can walk into church this morning and hear a song and sit there and sing and clap their hands and believe that things will get better. But that belief does not necessarily mean faith. But on the flip side, and even more disturbing, is a possibility. And yes, even the reality that one could have faith and still struggle to believe. The reality is that one could have faith that God is real, but still go through some circumstances and some situation that allow doubt and unbelief to creep into our minds and into our spirits, where we begin to wonder about what God is doing on our behalf. Have you ever received a disappointing medical report? Have you ever lost a loved one and asked why? Have you ever struggled with hopelessness? Have you ever wanted to give up on God because you believe that he gave up on you? Have you ever felt as if your prayers have gone unheard? Can we keep it real this morning? Now, some of you I know carry a bigger Bible than I do. And some of you may say that you've always been good with the Lord, and that everything that God did or let happen to you has been wonderful. But I believe that there are some of us in here this morning, including myself, who can acknowledge that although we have faith, every now and then we have had some doubts. And if you answered yes to any of these questions that I asked, let me tell you that you are in the right place this morning. And if you don't believe me, just go home. Well, you will go home, but go home and read Mark chapter 9. And you will read about a man whose son was possessed with a demon. He brings his son to the disciples who are unable to help. The father then turns to Jesus and asks, Jesus, can you heal my son? Jesus looks at the man and says, if you believe, all things are possible. This man, in hearing Jesus say in this situation that all he had to do was believe, turns to Jesus and says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus, I know you are real, but my son has been sick for so long, and I have to be honest with you that some doubt has crept into my heart about whether he will be better. And if you allow me to be hot with you this morning, humble, open, transparent, and take the reverend and the pastor from in front of my name and let you know that my faith is strong, but every now and then I find myself having some doubt about the movement of God in my life. My faith is unwavering. I know that there is a God in heaven. I know that God answers prayers. I know that God is sovereign and omnipotent. I know that I have faith in the atoning death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. I know that his blood covers all of my sins. But I've been in some stuff in the past that even with my faith in God, I began to wonder and doubt what God was doing with me at that time. Is there anyone besides me, and don't raise your hand, who can testify that there have been some circumstances and some situations that may have challenged your faith and brought doubt into your mind and made you wonder, God, what are you doing? And having faith in God and sometimes having doubt does not make you a bad person. It makes you human. Faith and doubt are what comes together in the 20th chapter in the book of John. This chapter of John shares with us not only the resurrection, but also his appearances to his followers after the resurrection of Christ. And the common theme of much of the chapter is that Jesus has risen from the grave and his followers do not believe it. These are folks who have been with Jesus throughout his ministry. Some of these were the ones who were there when the heavens opened up and when God declared, this is my son. Some of those were the ones who stood on Mount Hermon when Moses and Elijah appeared and the Lord spoke out and Christ was made manifest in his glory. These were the ones who saw Jesus walk on water. These were the ones who saw Jesus call Lazarus from the grave. These were the ones who saw Jesus feed 5,000 with next to nothing. These followers had put their faith in Jesus, and yet, when they get the good news that Jesus was alive, their faith was met head on with some doubt. We're going to look at one of those appearances today, more specifically the one involving Thomas. And I want to show you how the Lord responded in the life of Thomas when Thomas mixed doubt with faith. I want to show you how Thomas doubts and how Jesus responded to that doubt. So the next time that your faith is under attack, and the next time you're worried about how something is going to turn out, I want you to have a roadmap of how Jesus helps us to overcome our doubt when he knows that we have faith in him. This brother in the 20th chapter of John was named Thomas. And you and I may know him by a different name. We may know him as Doubting Thomas. Now, before we call him that again, allow me to tell you that there is no place in the Bible where he is referred to as Doubting Thomas. Thomas's experience of doubt only lasted 1 week. For 3 years prior to this week, Thomas had been a faithful servant of Jesus. Doubting Thomas was not the name that his mama gave him. He was not, when he was born, slapped on the rear end by the doctor, turned around and said to his mother, "Who hit me?" And she did not say, "No one, my son." Well, he will respond, "I don't believe you." That's not how he got his name. Doubting Thomas is a name that Christians gave him when they saw what he struggled with. People, yes, even Christians, will label us by our faults and not by our faith. But hear me say, when I say that our failures do not have to define our destiny. Here is why Thomas doubts. When he heard that Jesus had risen from the grave, this is what he said. "Unless I see the print of the nails in his hand and touch his side, I will not believe." Thomas doubted because he did not see the signs. Thomas was looking for something that he could not see, and because he did not see it, he doubted whether it was true. One of the common causes of doubt in the life of a believer is when you have not seen God do what you expected God would do. And when we doubt God because we haven't seen him do what we expected him to do, watch what Jesus does to Thomas. Excuse me. Jesus recognized that Thomas doubted because he had not seen the print of the nails in his hand. He had not seen or touched the side. So Jesus showed up to Thomas a week after the resurrection. And he says to Thomas, "Touch me right here." Jesus' willingness to accommodate Thomas's unbelief is a reminder that God can handle the doubt that you and I dish out. And this is another example of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because a week earlier, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus showed up to the disciples in the upper room. And when he got there, he showed the disciples his hands, and he showed them his side. And the reason Thomas didn't believe is that Thomas was not where he was supposed to be. Jesus had already told his disciples, "Look, guys, I'm going to die on Friday. You guys just hang on the upper room for about 72 hours. I'm going to show up, burst through the door. Everything's going to be good." But when Thomas decided not to be where Jesus told him to be, he was walking in disobedience to the will of God. He was out of order. But my friends, here is the grace of God. Even when Thomas was disobedient, the Lord showed up anyway, so Thomas could see what he needed to see and touch what he needed to touch. When we are disobedient and when we have not done what God told us to do, because of his grace and because of his mercy, he can still handle our doubts. It is when we allow our faith to intercept with our belief at a higher level that we can better understand the victory that Christ achieved with his resurrection. Once Thomas saw the nail prints and saw his side, he responded, "My Lord and my God." And it was there that the resurrection became clear to Thomas. It was when Thomas's faith and his belief intercepted that he realized that the resurrection of Christ involved more than just the reviving of the physical body of Jesus. And my friends, when our faith intercepts with our belief that God is real and that he can do all that his word says he can do, we can then realize that because of the resurrection, we can have renewed life. When our faith intercepts with our belief that God is real and that he can do what his word says he can do, we can then realize that because of the resurrection, we can find hope again. When our faith intercepts with the belief that God is real and he can do all that his word says he can do, we can realize that because of the resurrection, we can have reunion of the body and the spirit. When our faith, I think you're getting this, intercepts with the belief that God is real and that he can do all that his word says he can do, we can realize that because of the resurrection, we can have victory over spiritual death. When our faith intercepts with the belief that God is real and that he can do all that his word says he can do, we can then realize that because of the resurrection, we can have eternal life. When our word intercepts with our belief that God is real and that he can do what his word says he would do, we can realize because of the resurrection, we can have spiritual life. We can have a glorified body. And it is only when our faith intercepts with our belief that God is real that we understand this. And we will find an example. I got to walk a little. We find an example of this all throughout the Bible. If you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood, she's been dealing with this issue for 12 long years. 12 long years. She used up all her money. The doctors could do nothing for her. But when she heard that Jesus was coming, in her weakened state, she decided to make her way to Jesus. Think about this. She's been dealing with the issue of blood for 12 long years. The crowds, wherever Jesus went, there's always crowds that the Bible called multitudes. And here she is, weakened, trying to get to Jesus. And she figured out that I don't have to touch him. If I could just touch something that is touching him. So my picture of her, I imagine her being down low, crawling maybe, working her way to Jesus, moving towards him. And finally, she says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. That's all she needed to do. You may remember Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was a man of little stature. When he heard Jesus was coming down the road, he got up in a tree and said, I got to see the man for myself. When you and I want to get closer to Jesus, sometimes, like that woman, we have to get low to be lifted up. Sometimes we just need to touch something that touches him. And the good news is we can do that through prayer or through the reading of his word. In this day and time, I'm going to make a bold statement. In this day and time that we are living in, there should be no reason for a believer to remain in a state of doubt. For there is story after story after story about the power of God. And not just in the pages of the Bible, but in modern day situations as well. The resurrection, which we celebrated last Sunday, makes clear the victory of Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose, he pulled victory out of the jaws of defeat. He pulled life out of death. He pulled victory out over the grave. Because of his resurrection, we are not serving a memory. Because of his resurrection, we are not serving a dead man or a dead hero of some sort. Because of his resurrection, we are serving a risen Savior. Because of his resurrection, he brings salvation. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can once again see God's sovereignty over life and death. Because of his resurrection, we see the authentication of Jesus' ministry. Because of his resurrection, we can have joy, we can have hope, we can have peace. Have faith in Jesus and believe that he is always there for you. I pray that today and every day forward that you feel the joy, the presence of Jesus in your life. I pray that the love of Jesus is resurrected, reborn, and renewed in your heart because of his resurrection. Come and see the print of the nails in his hand, and come and touch his side. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, because of your son's resurrection, we can have hope, Lord. We can have hope and we can have belief that your word is true. Every word written in the Bible. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can know that we serve a risen Savior. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve not a memory, but we serve a risen Savior and a living God. So, Lord, we give you thanks because you loved us so much that you sent your Son to bring that hope and to bring that victory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.